And if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 5, chapter 5. Of course, we know that in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7 is this Sermon on the Mount, this mighty sermon, this great sermon that the Lord preached. I'm only going to deal with one thought in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount. If you're in chapter 5, if you'll go to verse 13, I'll preach to you this morning if the Lord will help me about salt. Chapter 5, verse 13. Here our Lord Jesus Christ, and you may rise if you would like for reading the Word. Lord Jesus Christ here in the midst of this sermon says the following: "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Lord, this morning, I ask you please help me with this verse that you laid upon me, and help me with these thoughts, these few thoughts, Lord, that I've had on it. Help me, Lord, to preach, and I ask you, Lord, to help us all in the hearing of your word, that, Lord, we might be all profited from it and profited spiritually, that we might all, Lord, be moved closer to you. I ask you this, Lord Jesus, for we know that we can't do these things of ourselves, but we know, Lord, that you can help us in all things. And so we ask this of you, Lord Jesus, believing in you, and we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I know that this is a well-preached sermon. You're the salt of the earth. And I don't know how many sermons I've heard about salt, and I think I've preached this before here. And if I have, that's all right, because we find in the book of Luke that our Lord preached most of these same thoughts on the Sermon on the Plains that He preached on the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, if Jesus Christ preached things more than once, it's all right if I do too. And so we're going to cover it, because this is pretty basic to being a Christian. This is pretty basic to who we are and what we seek to be, and what we're trying to do in this world. And so we're just going to cover it. I remember when I was in the military, when you got orders, you would read them and see where they wanted you to go and what they wanted you to do. And a lot of times you'd go read them again. And so it's all right if we read our orders more than once. We're going to read our orders. The Lord here wasn't talking just to His 12 disciples. So these are not just orders that were given to or instructions that were given to the apostles, but rather He was preaching the Sermon on the Mount to all who would follow Him, all who would come after Him. And so this is to us all. This isn't just to preachers or teachers or young or old, but this is to all who would call themselves a Christian, all who would identify with Jesus Christ. Ye are the salt of the earth. He doesn't say you should be, but He says you are. You who are hearing me this morning, you are the salt of the earth. Now, there's a lot of things and characteristics about salt that have been preached, and that I would preach to you this morning. Some of these I've heard others preached. You know, it's said often of salt that salt is a preservative. And salt is a preservative. And salt preserves the things it comes in contact with. And I believe that's true of the followers of Jesus Christ. That the only reason that God hasn't come back and judged this earth is because of those who follow Him who are on this earth. And I believe that not because of my own opinions or because other men have said that, but because Scriptures bear it out. How that God Himself went down to Sodom and Gomorrah to hear the cry that came up from the city and would have spared it had there been sufficient righteousness. We know that He would have spared the whole city had there even been as little as 10 righteous. I don't know what His cutoff was, but He would have spared the whole city if there had only been 10 righteous. And I believe that the reason that God still spares this earth now is because there's enough of His seed left, however many that is. He hasn't told me how many people it is, and I guess it's none of my business. But there's apparently enough of God's people left on this earth that He still preserves the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. That does include the preservation of this earth. The reason that God's judgments can be held off of communities and of towns and of states and of nations is because of the righteousness that remains in those communities and in those states and in those nations, so that you have a work to do even on this earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. It is because that you and I do our jobs, because we go out and influence this world, that the world doesn't turn completely to wickedness. You know, this nation, we often say, was founded a Christian nation, and that our founding fathers believed in Christian principles. But in studying this thing, I find that all of them weren't Christian. A lot of our founding fathers were deists. That means that they believed there was a God, but they didn't necessarily believe in the Christian God. Some of them believed all gods were the same and all sorts of mistaken ideas, but yet they were influenced by Christianity so much that they were content to have this nation be built a Christian nation. What happened? They were well salted. Benjamin Franklin was not strictly a Christian. He was a deist. He believed there was a God, but he never really did make any profession of Christianity. But because he listened to Christian preachers all the time, because he was around Christian men all the time, because he was raised in a Christian home, he was well salted. Do you understand? He was influenced by Christianity so much that the Constitutional Convention, it was Benjamin Franklin who called to the others and said, "We need to open this with prayer, so that you can influence even those who aren't Christian." Understand that. We are to be an influence. We are the preservation of this earth. And we're an influence on this earth. And that's our job and it's our duty. Ye are the salt of the earth. And it is for you and for I to go out. This world would tell us that we're to keep our worship contained. They don't say freedom of religion anymore. They like to say you have freedom of worship. That's not true. We've been granted freedom of religion. You see, worship can be contained inside a church building. Religion is everything you do. You have the freedom by law to serve Christ in public. And you and I should. Even if the law didn't grant us that freedom, we should. We are the salt of the earth. We should be an influence on the people of this earth. It should be that if you and I and all who name the name of Christ, if all of us would stand for these good laws and commandments which God has given us, if we all insisted that this is what's right, is right here what's in the Bible, we can be an influence even on the laws that are passed in this land. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that when you see civilizations go away from God, you see more of the laws of the land go away from good, simple, godly standards. And when you see the people come toward God and come toward Jesus Christ, you begin to see good, solid, moral principles as the foundation, even of the laws of the government. So that you and I can be an influence on this world. And we're told we're supposed to be. Ye are the salt of the earth. So then salt is a preservative, and it's an influence. Salt does other things. You know, salt heals. It does. Now, we may not like to put salt in a wound, but it's a healer. When I lived on the ocean, I spent a few years in the Caribbean in a little Navy contract, and living on the ocean, we knew this, and it wasn't just no wives tale, we knew this, that if you went swimming out in the ocean, it would heal all the little nicks and cuts on you faster than anything out there. Faster than any medicine you could take, faster than anything you do. There's something about salt water that heals you, and what it is the salt. Salt is a healer. Salt will heal wounds. And you and I are to help heal relationships with people. We're to help heal the wickedness and the unsettled nature of this world. We are the healers. And I'm not talking about just going out and laying hands on people and saying, "You are healed, you are healed." This thing gets sometimes taken out of what it's supposed to mean. It means that just our godliness, our righteousness, our peace with God should influence and affect the people around us. If you have peace inside you, an inner peace inside you, you can be a calming influence. You can heal relationships that people have. People that are at odds with each other, husbands with wives, mothers and fathers with their children, friends with each other. The salt, the influence of salt can heal those wounds. Ye are the salt of the earth. These things have been given you. Now, I'm going to preach more than this, but I'm just telling you, this is just the basic nature of salt. It's just things that salt does by being salt. It's not something that you have to be taught to do. It's not something that you have to take a class in order to learn how to do. If you're doing doing that, then you're not salt. But if you are indeed salt of the earth, if you're indeed children of God, then your very nature should do this. It should be that just your presence will help people to get along better. Your very presence will bring up this that into people's minds and into their hearts that they should live right. You're an influence. You're a healing influence. Ye are the salt of the earth. But now besides these things, besides preserving, and besides healing, there are some other things that maybe we don't concentrate on as much. I heard an old preacher, Oliver B. Green, one time preach on how salt irritates. And it does. Salt irritates. And if you're the salt of the earth, sometimes you're going to irritate people just by your presence. Just the fact that you show up is going to rub people wrong. That's right. If you decide that you're going to live right, and if I decide I'm going to live wrong, then when you show up living right, it's going to irritate me. Why? Because it shows me I'm living wrong. And so salt also irritates, and it will irritate people around you too, if you decide to live right. But know that that's just the nature of salt. Know that that's not because you're doing something wrong. It's because that's the natural reaction of things against salt. You're still doing your job. You're still doing your job if you're the salt of the earth. Well, these things are true. And it's also true that salt is different from the things that it salts. The food and the salt are two different things. And you're to influence something that's different from you. And so you shouldn't think it odd or unusual that the very people that God sends you out to don't think like you do. The very people that God puts you in the midst of don't agree with you. Whether He puts you in the workplace, whether He puts you around a circle of friends that you grew up with, whether it's your high school friends, or whether it's people that you never knew growing up, it doesn't matter. Whoever God puts you in contact with, if you're a child of God, they're going to be different from you. Salt is different from the things it influences. And this shouldn't be strange to you. But you're called out and told by Jesus Christ, ye are the salt of the earth. So if you're different from other people, that should only reaffirm to you that indeed you're salt of the earth. And if your difference irritates people around you, I'm not saying irritating people on purpose. I'm just talking about your very presence irritates people. Well, that's just what salt does. But know still yet that the nature of salt is still for healing. Know it's still for preserving. Know that God's still working through you. If you're a child of God, He's still working through you. Goodness in His name. He's still doing that because you're the salt of the earth. That attributes to you what your nature and character are, but the work is still the work of God. Now I want to call out something I haven't heard from anybody else, but I know it's in here. I was studying this thing about salt, and I got looking at the back half of this verse, starting with "but if." But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Now, what that's talking about, I don't know if you've ever cleaned with salt. Salt cleans, by the way, too. If you got a cast iron skillet and you burn something in it, the best way to clean it that I know of is pour salt in it and rub it down. It'll clean it. But if you've ever cleaned with salt, you see what happens is that salt begins to pick up everything around it. It's no longer salty. And that's what it means if the salt has lost its savor. What are you going to do with it? Can you salt it? It's no good. It's no good. It says, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. I'm afraid that this is a direction that's easy for us to go in, is to be good for nothing and to be trodden under foot of men. And this is the end result of any of us that have lost our savor. In other words, if we've lost our saltiness, if we've lost our influence, if our character and our nature is not what it's supposed to be, is that we're good for nothing and we will be trodden underfoot of men. Why is it then that a church could be completely ignored by a community and be considered nothing but a bunch of hypocrites, and ignored when it comes to making laws, and ignored when it comes to the behavior of the children. How is it? It's because it's being trod underfoot of men. Why? Because it's lost its savor. How does that happen? That's what I got studying. How does it happen that salt loses its savor? How does it happen that salt loses its saltiness? Well, and this is what I want to get to you. Of all the things I'm trying to get to you this morning, what I've given to you this morning already, although I believe it's good and true, this is what I want to get to you. Salt loses its saltiness because instead of influencing, it gets influenced. Do you follow me? Listen, Jesus, when he told Simon Peter, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We have this picture in our minds sometimes that the gates of hell are attacking the church. People, gates don't attack. When it says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, the picture is the church attacking the gates of hell. The picture is us attacking into the kingdom of evil and overcoming it. The picture is not evil coming against us and us standing against it. If salt loses its saltiness, it's because we've let evil come against us and we've been pushed back and been influenced rather than us going out and taking on the nature of salt and going and influencing. Salt, by the way, when it influences, it is consumed in its use. You ever thought about that? When you salt your food, that salt is consumed in its use. If you and I go out and serve God rightly, we will be consumed. That's right. We will be consumed. This is what it means to die to yourself. We're not trying to preserve our life. It says if we preserve our lives, we'll lose it. If we lose our lives, we'll save it. If we're going to be the right influence, the influence we're supposed to be on this earth, we will lose ourself. We will be consumed in the use. All of us is given away so that we might be that influence on this world that we're supposed to be. But if we let the world influence us, we have lost our saltiness. We have lost our savor. If the salt takes on the flavor of the things that it's next to, it's not salty anymore. And it's to be thrown out and trod under the foot of men. And if we take our marching orders, if we take all of our lessons from the world around us, we lose our savor. We lose our saltiness. And we can no longer be an influence. I can't influence you to be different from the way you are if I'm copying you. That's right. And if I look at this world and I say, I'll tell you what, you tell me where to go, what to say, how to dress, how to act, and I'll turn around and tell you about Jesus Christ, I'm nothing more than something that's going to be trod under the foot of men. If I'm going to be an influence, I'll naturally be an irritant to them because I'm different. And if I'm going to be an influence, it's going to mean the death of me in this thing. I'll be consumed in it. It won't be my will that gets done every day. It'll be God's will. But it'll be effective. And so I guess, just to boil it all down simply, I'm not going to keep you very long this morning. Because I think I've made the point that I set out to make. And it kind of boils down to a question then. Are we content to take on the influences of everybody around us and be good for nothing, but to be trod under the foot of men? Or are we content to actually be the salt of the earth, to be different, to be consumed in our use? According to the Master, by the way, salt doesn't determine where it's used. That salt that's in your kitchen doesn't determine what dishes it wants to get in. The Master determines where it's used. Are we content to be salt for the Master? And to influence wherever He puts us? To go ahead, be willing to be different, not be bothered by the fact that it doesn't sit well with everybody, but just to believe that we are a healing influence. We are a preserving influence. We are the right thing that's needed according to what the Master says. Are we willing to be that salt that we're told to be? Or will we be trod under the foot of men? I can ask you that. I can't answer it for you. I can answer for me. I want to do the best I can. I don't want to preach this to you and turn around and lose it myself. I don't want to have everybody around me tell me how I ought to smell. How, you know what I mean? To use that word savor again, that's what it means, is smell or taste. I would rather have God tell me what I'm supposed to be and let that influence the world around me. Let us charge the gates of hell, not wait for hell to attack our gates. Let us be an influence on the world instead of letting the world be an influence on us. I guess I'm telling you it's time for us to be on the offensive instead of the defensive. And I don't mean going out and assaulting people or berating them or trying to browbeat them into being a Christian. That's not what I mean at all. I mean simply being willing to live it in front of them so much so that they cannot deny the influence of Jesus Christ in our lives. You're salt to the earth. Salt to the earth. Are you willing to be consumed for the Master? Are you willing to go out and influence the world around you? Just those around you. I'll leave that with you. And Brother Craig, I'm just going to ask you, we're going to close it in song if you would like to use the altars. They're open. Brother Craig. Thank you.